Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today to Matt Schellenberg. Matt is the District 7 candidate for the school board race in Duval County. And by the way, there's four out of the seven seats that are now filled. There's four out of those seven that's open for re-election or for new individuals going into those positions. Matt's one of them. The primary is on August the 18th. Let me urge you now to be prepared because, believe it is next Tuesday, the early voting starts, and you need to be prepared to vote. And we need to vote for those that's going to represent us and make sure that dollars in, dollars out are accounted for in the school board personnel and what's done on our school board in Duval County. Before our news break, we're talking with Matt about what we need to be doing. Do we need to be building new buildings, educational buildings, school buildings? Do we need to have more charter schools? Do we need to be looking out for the future academics of America and how we need to deliver the educational process? And a lot of that focus, I believe, Matt, needs to be on the realm of technology and how school is delivered. As you know, and perhaps our listeners may or may not know, in the state of Florida for the past, I believe, 6 or 7 years now, we've had the educational process with K-12 through K-5 through 12th grade on the online system, the technology rather than in the classroom. And as I understand it from everybody that's in the academic system in the state of Florida, they've said it has been wonderful and well. So my question is, Matt, and perhaps you can go back and build the foundation a little better. My question is, why aren't we looking at spending more money on advancement of technology and in doing what we've been doing in the state of Florida with the delivery system online, rather than talking about spending hundreds of millions of dollars on future tax money to rebuild brick and mortar buildings that's falling down or to build new educational space in our school system? Talk about that issue, Matt.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think we had to refocus, and that's something that the school board has not done. And it's something that, you know, they should be looking, they should have been looking for this because businesses are looking at it. You talk to all these businesses that are going to survive. They had plans 5 years out. They have pulled everything forward because they realize the world has changed. Has the world changed for the school board? No, it's a bureaucracy, and we elect people that don't really see what the future is. Understand, by the way, as I mentioned, $108 million is already used for building, repair, and maintenance. If this half-cent sales tax passes, it's another $100 million a year. Over 15 years, you can do the numbers just like I can, $3 billion for buildings. This is not the world we're living in. Now, people on the middle income and above, I think there's children are very well acquainted with the computer and getting around and learning on that. And most middle class and upper class, most of the spouses, a spouse is still living at home. And what we're going to find out, even though they were thrown a bomb in a sense in September, they closed the school and then someone had to stay home. They are more well prepared now if they want to stay home. And you're going to see them going, hey, my child is learning better than sending them to school. I can stay on top of it. They don't need to go to school all the time. However, one thing that is missing is social interaction. You know what these parents are doing? They, as you mentioned in your dialogue, they are getting together with other parents. They're doing soccer. They're doing all sorts of other things and actually hiring teachers for a small group of students on a specific subject. This is the world we're moving to. And you know what? I said when I was on the city council my first term, the library came to me and said, we need to build more libraries. Build them. I go, no, no. I said, we had enough libraries. I said, I understand that people are moving where there aren't any libraries. But the world for libraries is a distant past. We need to, if my children or you, Dr. Youngblood, we can go on the Internet, get any book really we want, and read it right there. We don't need to go to the libraries. Libraries have become meeting places. Let's redescribe what libraries are. All you have to do is, at the time, look at Borders. Most people probably listening to the program might have remembered Borders. How about Blockbuster? All these companies weren't able to meet the challenges going forward, which is the Internet. How are you going to get your message out to the people? And what we need to do is we need to spend an extraordinary amount of time and effort for the people that don't have, give them internet access, make sure they know how to use a computer, and give them that lifeline that they'll need for the quality of life that they will see in the next 30, 5, 10, 15, 30 years in their lifetime. That's what we need to do. We don't need brick and mortar. We got enough of them. And because of this pandemic, there's a lot of empty buildings. We can figure out a system if you have the thoughtful, intelligent, and not afraid to go against what has been going on for the last many years.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing today Matt Schellenberg. Matt is a candidate for District 7 on the school board. The primary is the 18th of August. I urge you to be prepared to vote. District 7, Matt Schellenberg, invested 8 years at least with the our civic leadership as a city council member for 8 years, and delivered for us, especially the conservatives, the Christians, and the Duval County, as to what was best for the citizens. And I am thankful for his candidacy for District 7 of the school board race. That telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, 831-0917, 831-0917. If you have a question for me or for Matt, be sure and give us a call. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your dialogue, your discussion, and answer those questions. Matt, you have an opponent that is in the race. There's a couple of them, but there's one in particular, and I'm not going to give the benefit of calling her name. May I ask the question and allow you to answer? Why do you think that you're more qualified than she is to be seated in District 7 of the school board for Duval County?
Well, I think honesty is a good thing, and I think that running the business for 29 years, I think, gives you the political acumen to understand revenues and expenses and how to manage that, and that's what I'm running on. At $1.7 billion budget, we need to get a handle on that. And what I've seen over the last 4 years, nothing's been happening. And, you know, it's nonpartisan, so I'm kind of baffled. A friend of mine sent me a note that in 2014, she was a registered Democrat. Why change to a Republican when it's nonpartisan? Because I think that she realized she can fool some people some of the time, but not all the people all the time. And I think that as you looked at the endorsements, I've got the Northern Florida Builders Association, a business-oriented group supporting me. She's got all the unions. I understand that unions could be helpful to some people. They're not good for Duval County schools.
Absolutely. I will amen that for you. She is, in my position and my understanding and my research of what she has as her background and what she's doing presently, and her accolades are coming primarily from the unions, and I am adamantly opposed to that, if I can say it that dogmatic. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I'd like you to thank you for bringing us forward a candidate that I could support and vote for. We sure need someone like Matt with his business experience, and he sees the problem that we have leaders that have no clue of how to handle money. You know, I noticed this across the board, Dr. Youngblood, that 30, 40 years ago, Duval County was very conservative with what it did. But now, it seems like the shadow government liberals have basically brought it to a halt. They're the molasses in the gears, and I'm so glad to see someone like Matt is stepping up, because if we don't, Duval County is not going to be a great place to live. It used to be, but it has sure slid a long way. And Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your comments. Absolutely. That's a blessing to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That's the telephone number that gets you through to the microphones. You can ask me or Matt a question and allow us to respond to it. We'd be delighted to do so. Matt, go ahead with your comments.
A couple things. I was on the board of Bishop Kenny High School for 24 years as chairman a lot of the time and finance chair one of the time. What was amazing to me was we didn't ever have any problems finding great teachers. In fact, most of the teachers stayed there forever. You know why? Because we treated them with respect. because they treated their students with respect. We respected the parents, and they understood the administration. And in that world, in that administration, over 1,300 people, we had a very slimmed down bureaucracy because our focus was always on the student. And so when people tell me that we need to pay teachers more, none of the parochial school system, they make less than Duval County schools. Their pensions are less. Their health insurance is less. But you know why they do it? Because they love teaching. We want those teachers those are the kind of teachers we want in Duval County. Okay?
Yes, absolutely. I'm in agreement with that, where it's a teacher that loves the student, loves teaching, loves the classroom, and the focus is on the academic process and not the political interference and the bureaucracy that seems to be in charge. Matt,
I would love to pay teachers better salaries, but I'm not going to give salaries to the bad teachers. I want to give the salaries to the good teachers and get them to stay.
That gets into a whole new bailiwick and ball game, as you know. You can take a bad teacher, and many times because of the teachers' unions, they're put in a rubber-lined room, as I call it, and they're let them play with their cell phones all day and still draw a paycheck. We need to have a system in the academic process where you've got a bad teacher, you can fire that teacher. Donald J. Trump, you're fired. There needs to be a mechanism where that can take place so we don't have to continue to pay bad teachers simply because they're working for the Board of Education.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, how about this? Why don't we go back to what Reagan did? No offense, I know you and I are old enough to remember this.
Yes.
Remember he fired all the air traffic controllers.
He goes, he did.
We're not doing
Absolutely.
Anything. He goes, you're out of here. We want good people to take care of the people that are in the air. And he fired them.
Yes. Made a difference too, didn't it?
It did.
One question that I am anxious to ask and allow the hearer today, our listeners, to understand your position on it, because I think it's vital to the educational system, not only in the state of Florida, but on a national level. How do you stand on allowing the school dollars, the school dollars to follow the student? That is, charter school, religious schools, virtual school, school vouchers, school co-ops, et cetera, et cetera. How do you stand on that philosophy or that particular position of letting the tax dollars, the school tax dollars, follow the student?
I agree with you 100%. In fact, the proposed budget of another $1 trillion for the economy, it has in there, there was a Wall Street Journal article, I think yesterday or today, it depends on when I read it, but they basically said one of the standout things was the money will follow the parent and the student, not directly to the school board. Is that great news or what?
Fantastic news. Fantastic news. In fact, I find it antithetical to anything that's called academia when there's a mindset that it should be simply dollars that's left in the hands of the school board to make the decision. And by the way, that touches on another aspect that I believe our listeners need to hear today coming from you. When it comes to charter schools, there's a whole hoopla by the teachers' unions and the National Educational Association that will, if I can use the term poo-poo, and say that you cannot have charter schools because it takes away from the public school dollars. When in reality, and I think these numbers are pretty much right on target, when in reality, let's say in Duval County, where approximately $13,000 of tax money goes to each student, kindergarten through high school, and it's about 66.6%. 6% of that, 66% for round figures, about 66% of those figures, those dollars, actually are going to charter schools when a charter school is in place. So a charter school in reality produces higher academics with better teaching, better student outcome, academically speaking, with less dollars than the public schools. And with every student that goes into the charter school, that's net more money in the pockets of the bureaucrats and the school board in Duval County to be operating and to basically willy-nilly spending it as they please. Am I right or wrong?
That is absolutely correct. And you know what they go, well, you're selecting students. No. I have a charter school right up the street from me, and they were trying to get zoned. And people go, well, you can't do that. It's going to take away. School choice, I don't care if you do it at home, if that's the parents' prerogative, or you send them to private school or public school or charter school. That's the parents' prerogative. And by the way, they do an excellent job. And you know what? The teachers aren't union. Big deal. It's a big deal. And I think
that's a big deal.
It's a big deal. I'll give you another example in relation to this. So last year when the school board was asked to allocate some money to the charter school, that person I'm running against met with some of the charter school people extensively to talk to them about what to do, what to not to do, what they're trying to accomplish. And you know what? She said she was going to vote to give half some part of that half-cent sales tax to the charter schools. But you know what happened? She voted against it. So you know
yes.
what they did, the charter school people did? They went to Tallahassee. They took away home rule, and in a sense, because of the people on the board didn't listen to the students and the parents of all these people. So they went to Tallahassee, and you know what? That half-cent sales tax, if it passes, a certain percentages go to the charter schools, which is only reasonable.
Well, in my most humble opinion, Matt, and I think that I stand on solid ground with it. Dollar for dollar, it should be matched. Any tax dollar for school for education should be divided among the general public school. And by the way, most people are misinformed about charter schools. Charter schools happen to be public schools. But they happen to be privately owned public schools, so there is a board within that charter school that takes precedence over the school board that makes the decision on how the dollars are going to be spent, how the academics are going to go forward. And I am thrilled with what I see on a national level with the academic what we call performance in charter schools, not just in Duval County, but across the nation. Matt, take a moment out of our dialogue and discussion on this to once again tell our listeners how they can become involved with your candidacy, what they can do to help, how you can be reached, and what is the best way for them to assist you in these last few days of this election process.
Well, you're great. First of all, when I was on the city council, I encouraged people to talk to me, and they would send me emails. So send me an email, schellenbergforschoolboard@gmail.com. Or give me a call, send me a text. I want to hear what people have to say. If you disagree with it, just have a civil conversation. And that's something that's clearly lacking in our world right now, civil conversation.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I can say this, and I don't say this to for any special accolades for Matt because he's on the air with us today. But during his 8 years on the city council, there was never a time, and Matt, I can say this very forthrightly to our listeners for the benefit of what you've just stated about contacting you. I never had an occasion where I text you, called you, or left you an email asking for an answer or suggesting a statement or asking for something that you did not in every occasion return the call, return the text, return the email, and respond in a positive manner on each of my questions or comments, whether we totally agreed or disagreed or whether we were trying to, if you call it, match and feelings and notes on how we ought to carry out something. And I'm thankful for that. And I commend you for that. And I say that in all honesty for our listeners today to understand that when they call you, when they email you, when they ask you a question, they may not necessarily agree 100% with the answer or the response, but you'll respond. And that's the thing that I believe. That's the thing that I believe God holds our civic leadership responsible to do is to respond to we the people and to respond in a fashion that will allow us to be a part of the process. Matt, I'm thankful for that. Let's change gears for just a moment.
Hey, let me just add one other thing.
Go ahead.
This election cycle is substantially different. I won 9 years ago, 4 years ago, because there was lots of meet and greet. But this pandemic has, obviously changed the dynamics of how you get elected. It is, it's a lot different. So I hope that everybody goes out and votes and votes for me. Early voting starts next week, and absentee ballots have been going on. And as you stated many times before, August 18th is actually the Tuesday, 2 weeks from Tuesday is when the actual election is over.
Tell us the process on that. I'm familiar with it. Our listeners may not be, where there's heads with, what is it in this race, three candidates running, the one with the one or two with 50% or more. How does that work out as far as the finality of the process for the primary and whether it goes further into November?
Okay, we're school board is unique, and so is city council. You have to get 50% of the vote plus one vote, not 51%, 50% of the vote plus one. That I'll tell you how crucial that is and how life is, and God is a very funny guy. So I guess 6 years ago, 8 years ago, Jay Fant ran against Paul Renner. And just understand how important your vote is. J. Jay Fant won by two votes. Two votes. So what happened was, God is funny, I'm telling you. So John Tash becomes president of Florida State. That position opens up down in Flagler County. Paul Renner runs in it, wins it, and you know what? He'll be Speaker of the House in 2022 to 2024, and he is a good guy. I communicate with him often. He's a good guy.
In fact, talking about when Jay Fant won the election by two votes, the day that he was installed and sworn in, my wife and I sat in his office, had a cup of coffee and some refreshments with him, and I reminded Jay, I said, Jay, you realize that my wife's vote and my vote put you in this office. And I'm sure there were thousands across the state of Florida that felt that their vote put him in office also, but it was just kind of a point of pun for us in that dialogue and discussion.
But it tells you how important your vote is.
Every vote counts, absolutely.
Wouldn't you hate to be a friend of Paul and say, Paul, I'm sorry, I was out sick. I didn't early vote or didn't vote on election day. And you can't say, you know, you can't. How embarrassing it is to
That's
do
right.
it. But
say, I wanted to vote for you, but it wasn't there. Changing gears, Matt, let me ask you a question. I'm looking at an article that says DeVault schools could lose out on $70 million if funding is, reopening plan isn't approved. And it goes on to talk about the reopening plan that's been submitted to the state for Duval County. And it says, in a tense emotional meeting Thursday, Duval School Board agreed to send the state a plan to return students back to the physical classroom gradually. The plan does not meet the Educational Commissioner's emergency order to give all students the option to return to class 5 days a week. The chairman of the school board said Duval schools aren't ready to reopen based on the COVID-19 conditions. Speak to that. Are we ready to reopen? Should we reopen? And linked with that, I know this is stacking the questions, but we're running out of time. But we're talking about spending hundreds of millions of dollars in the reopening just for the plastic shields and for the mask and so forth and so on. Speak to that big ball of wax issue there.
Okay, this is the problem with the school board. They're nice people. I've met most of them, but they're mostly former teachers, and they don't understand how to actually look at the budget and trim the fat. When I was on the city council, I have saved, because of self-insurance health, $20 million a year, when the budget of City Hall was just $1 billion. That is 2%. So if the school board actually looks at the $1.7 billion budget and saves just 2% of that, that's $34 million. Some of the biggest expense is busing and gas. You mean you can't figure out a way to homeschool, not homeschool, but you, by the way, how many people do you think are going to be homeschooling? A substantial number. Do you realize in 20 years, as much as Jacksonville has grown, the student population of Duval County has actually decreased? And
majorly
there's a reason for it. They're fine, huh?
Majorly decreased.
Right. And you know what? Because parents aren't stupid. They're smart. They care about their kids and what they're going to – and help them in any way possible to meet the challenges going forward. So when people say – I'm pretty sure that Warren Jones, a nice guy, and the board didn't know what they were talking about, because it's easy to say to Diana Green, the superintendent of schools, hey, we need this. Let's look at it. I didn't do a job. You've had 4 months to figure it out. And all of a sudden, you go, I need $70 million. No, Diane Green, you put open every school. You've had plenty of time. Another 2 weeks is not going to make any difference. Put them there. The parents will make the decision. That's actually your client. It's not the teachers, not your administrators. Your clients are the parents and the students. Put them, if they want to go to school, make sure it happens. And make sure you have neighborhood schools, much like St. John's County. You know, look at how successful they are. Because you go down some of those roads during school, people are biking to school, they're walking to school. It's just incredible why people are moving there. And we haven't done anything in 20 years, and clearly not anything in 4 years, and clearly nothing in 4 months, that have changed the dynamics of this administration that is way behind. Let me add one more thing, Dr. Youngblood, because it's been on my lip and I keep on forgetting it, and it comes back to me. In 2016, somebody who's running in for school board, not the one I'm running against, but she was there on the board, she said, and was quoted in the Florida Times Union, you cannot, the state, you cannot implement these more stringent requirements to graduate. Why don't we let it go for, let this proceed over the next 4 years, which will be this year. She said that if you implement, when it gets implemented in 4 years, the graduation rate will go down 10%, and in the African-American community will go down 16%. So let's find out what's going on. You know what happens? When you're in 10th grade, you take a math test and an English test. If you don't pass it, then they give you easier tests in the 11th and 12th grade, and you get a certificate of graduation. By the way, you're not fooling anybody. It's terrible for the student. Okay?
Absolutely.
And then you go to a Florida State College. They take remedial classes. You're not fooling anybody. The people moving here, you're not fooling anybody. Quit fooling us that you're doing a good job, period.
Absolutely.
How do you like that, Dr. Youngblood?
Absolutely. That's good. And that's exactly where we need to be, where we're focusing on the academia of it and not focusing on the political aspects of it to somehow appease and to please the unions that seemingly dominate our educational system, not just here in Jacksonville, but across the nation. Matt, we've got about a minute and a half left on this broadcast. Speak to our listeners once again. How can they reach you? What is the website? What is the telephone number? How can they reach you to join in and be part of the team for the balance of this process until August the 18th? We need to put Matt Schellenberg, ladies and gentlemen, in District 7 of the Duval County School Board.
First of all, I want to thank Dr. Youngblood. We had many conversations, many breakfasts, just to sit and talk about what to make Jacksonville a better place. And what will make Jacksonville a better place, other than quality of life issues that I was able to do in Mandarin, sidewalks. We saved the oldest school's house in the state, an African-American house. It was ready to fall apart. It was falling apart until I took an active interest in it. I redid the parks. We have new park equipment. These are the things that are essential to quality of life. But the most important ingredient of education is giving these children the fundamentals to be successful in life, either through a skill, plumbing, electrician, mechanic, whatever it may be. But we have gone for 20 years and said, you have to go to college. That was a detriment to a vast majority of our children, and it's a shame. So what we're going to do is give them a way to earn a living and the skill to make it happen.
Wonderful. Matt, in this final 45 seconds, if you would give the listeners a contact source, a telephone number, email address, website, and very frankly speak to our listeners. How can they help get you elected?
Well, first of all, they can always get a hold of you, and you know how to get a hold of me. But Amen. My phone number is 904-868-6221 or Schellenberg4SchoolBoard@gmail.com. Please call or text. Thank you. Or email. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood.
Matt, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been our delight to have you with us today for Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.